Well, Sonny, I understand you have some kudos for a West Indies cricket player.
Kim, here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to West Indies batsman Chris Gayle, who put his name in the Cricket World Cup record books Tuesday in a victory over Zimbabwe in Canberra, Australia. Gayle got the first ever World Cup double century to power the Windies to a 73-run victory over the African side at Manuka Oval. The opener's 215 was the highest individual innings in a World Cup match and the third highest in any one-day international. Gayle also formed the big part of a 372-run partnership with Marlon Samuels, which is also a one-day record. The dreadlock 35-year-old Gayle is from Kingston, Jamaica. He slugged 16 sixes in Canberra, tying the one-day record, as well as 10 fours in his 147-ball knock. Hey, Chris, what does your record day mean to you?
I mean a lot. You point out the stats. You know, it's been a while since I haven't been among runs. Maybe, what, 1 year and a couple of months now, still playing with an injury. So I've been restricted in a lot of areas, you know, preparation-wise. And then, you know, showing the cricket in my game of cricket, and eventually didn't get the chance to actually, you know, score the sort of runs, you know, which everybody expect me to. But like I say, hope this is the start of a new beginning, and, you know, try and build on this as much as possible. And then, you know, put the team in a good position. And then we look forward to against South Africa.
Chris Gayle and the West Indies cricket team will play South Africa on Friday in Sydney, Australia. The Windies are now second in the Pool B table behind India with 4 points from 3 matches. The Chevrons of Zimbabwe, meanwhile, are fifth in the table, right behind South Africa, with 2 points from 3 matches. Remember, VOA Cricket World Cup fans, the top 4 teams in each of the 2 7-nation pools will qualify for the quarterfinals. After the loss to the West Indies Tuesday, Zimbabwe captain Elton Chigumbura says the Chevrons need to improve their bowling.
Yeah, it's a big concern. We have to improve how we are bowling at the death. And the sooner we do it, I think the better for the team. And looking at the games that we have played, it has cost us.
If you're just tuning in now to the Voice of America, Elton Chigumbura and the Chevrons of Zimbabwe lost to the West Indies by 73 runs Tuesday at the Cricket World Cup. The final score from Manuka Oval in Canberra, Australia. The West Indies 372 for 2 in 50 overs and Zimbabwe 289 for 44.3 overs. Zimbabwe will play its next match March 1st when it takes on Pakistan in Brisbane, Australia. Turning to African youth football, Nigeria will play South Africa Wednesday, and Mali will meet Guinea Thursday in semifinal matches at the African Under-17 Championship in Niamey, Niger. By reaching the semifinals, all 4 teams qualified for the FIFA Under-17 World Cup, which kicks off in Chile in October. Our African football guru, David Legg, says he wants to give some kudos to the South African boys.
A big high five to South Africa. This is the first time that they have qualified for the World Cup at under-17 level. I mean, it's been a real shame on South African football that they have almost totally neglected the youth, which is the under-20 team, and the junior team, which are the under-17s. And that's one of the reasons, Sonny, that Bafana, the senior team, have battled so much, because that conveyor belt, which you see in Nigeria, you see it in Ghana, you see it in Cameroon, these are the young stars coming through. It just hasn't happened in South Africa. There's been total neglect of the youth. And finally, last year, the South African Football Association president, Danny Jordan, I think he realized something drastic had to be done. And what was done, Sonny, was very simple, really. It just took an interest, finally, in the youth and the junior teams. And lo and behold, both have qualified for the African Championships. And now it's gone one stage further. The South African under-17 team, they drew with Ivory Coast, they drew with Mali, and then they beat Cameroon, and they're through to the semifinals. And more importantly, they're off to Chile, and that'll be a wonderful opportunity. High fives also, Sonny, to the other qualifiers. The Nigerians, as always, impressive in these underage competitions. Guinea, with all their problems, specifically the Ebola epidemic, it's great to see them doing so well. And also Mali, who, of course, have had their problems with security situation in the north of their country. And despite these hardships, despite these problems, it's great to see that these teams compete so well at international level, and they make it through. And he's hoping that whoever emerges victorious in Africa, to me, the main thing, Sonny, is that they do well at the World Cup in Chile. You've got a total of 24 countries, and four of them will be from Africa.
Also, David, recent action in All Africa Games football qualifying. Can you give us an update there?
Yes, Sonny, the action never stops. This is now an under-23 competition, and not only do you have the All-Africa Games, which will be staged in Congo-Brazzaville in September, but the teams playing in this competition will be looking ahead to the CAF Under-23 Championship, which will be hosted by the Democratic Republic of Congo in December. And the very important thing about that championship is that is the gateway to the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro in 2016. And great news for Nigeria. They went to Libreville. They played the reigning African under-23 champions, Gabon, and they won by a spanking 4-1. So well done to the side they called the Dream Team, the Nigerian under-23 side. Nigerians, 2 ahead at halftime, and then another 2 in the second half. And I think it's safe to say, Sonny, ahead of the return match in Abuja, that Nigeria will advance to the next round. It was generally a very good weekend for away teams. Burundi soaked up a lot of pressure from DR Congo and Kinshasa and then scored the only goal of the game 5 minutes into the second half. The Congolese, however, will be kicking themselves because 2 minutes from the end, they were awarded a penalty, but they failed to convert it. Another away win came to Sudan. They went to Diri Dawa in Ethiopia and won by 2-1. Osman and Al-Tahir scored in the first half for the Sudanese, and the Ethiopians got a late consolation goal from a penalty kick. And completing that good weekend for the away teams, Uganda went to Maputo and held Mozambique to a 0-0 draw. And coming up on this Sunday, Sonny, you've got Egypt at home to Kenya in another first-round, first-leg match. Sadly, there were some walkovers. Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast, Mali, Zambia, and Zimbabwe go through. And there were also some byes into the next round, namely Cameroon, Ghana, who are the defending champions, Senegal, and South Africa. And eventually, Sonny, after these qualifiers, you'll have 7 countries going into the finals. And, of course, Congo, Brazzaville, as the host nation, automatically qualifies. So you have that normal 8-team format. You'll have 2 groups of 4 with the group winners and runners-up qualifying for the semifinals. But with one eye on that CAF Under-23 championship at the end of the year, it's worth noting just how teams shape up. And Nigerians, who haven't really had an awful lot to cheer about recently, I believe they'll be very encouraged by that 4-1 away win over Gabon. So well done to the Nigerian Dream Team.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Washington.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Listen, when you're talking about the best fighter, you're talking about Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. It's been a long time coming, but the welterweight showdown is now set for May 2nd in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mayweather says it's what the world has been waiting for, while Pacquiao says he's very happy they can give fight fans what they've wanted for so many years. It's expected to be the most lucrative fight in history. According to published reports, Mayweather will get 60% of the revenue and Pacquiao the other 40%. The undefeated Mayweather could earn as much as $120 million for this boxing blockbuster, while the Pac-Man might get $80 million. I'll be talking with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, about this marquee matchup later this week on the Sunny Side of Sports. For now, though, let's take a quick look at their respective records. Pacquiao has a record of 57 wins and 5 losses with 38 knockouts, and he's won world titles in 8 different divisions. Mayweather has won all 47 of his prize fights with 26 knockouts, and he's won world championships in 5 different weight divisions. Mayweather last fought September 13th when he beat Argentina's Marcos Maidana by unanimous decision. And Pacquiao last fought November 23rd when he beat American Chris Algieri by unanimous decision. Early prediction, Mayweather by unanimous decision. You heard it here first, boxing fans. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.